Dun 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 dun.
Oh God.
Dun 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 dun.
What are you doing, Kuntat?
Look, we didn't prepare a musical intro for this first edition of Chaos Out English, the show. What would yours be? How would you get into the show, Kuntoni?
I mean, I would give I'm a reporter, so like every story I write every day.
Serious man.
Right. I would give you a lead, and that graph, and you know the body, which is where the story is.
Nice.
It would be like a hook. Would be this is something that I and Todd have been wanting to do for a long time now.
Yeah, the show. We've been talking about the show for ages.
Yes.
The show.
Indeed.
Chaos Out English. English. The show.
Yeah, the show.
The show English.
But for the lead, though, I believe we have to have name of the author. So should we introduce ourselves?
A byline, if you will.
A byline.
Okay, yeah. This is Todd Ruiz. I'm the editor of Chaos Out English.
And this is Mitri Nigerawat, a.k.a. Tony, star reporter of Chaos Out English. I would just be Tony for this show.
Tony's good. Tony and Todd.
All right.
Like alliteration. That. We like that.
TNT.
Okay, so we've been talking about doing this show for a long time. And so we've finally decided that this week we do it because we actually have something to talk about.
To get our readers, our listeners.
We need a hook.
A hook, yeah. A hook into, you know, like the backstory of a story.
The story behind the story.
Right.
That's right.
Indeed. And it turns out, and I think this is approaching Nutgraf territory, isn't it? That for the past week, there is one story that I think stands out from the rest of the stories that I and Todd think, you know, is worth to take you on a journey.
There was Cold War intrigue.
Yes. There was a low-speed pursuit across
Pattaya. There was a low-speed pursuit through the unctuous streets of Pattaya. This was like a rare... I mean, come on. This story had everything. This was a story that had everything. We've got sex. We've got...
Trump.
We've got oligarchs.
We have Putin.
We've got election meddling. Yeah, advanced sex classes.
Right, indeed. We literally have this moment when two police officers who had no idea what kind of story, you know, what kind of case they had in their hand. And after they talked to us, literally turned to one another and said, "We have a big issue over here." I think that was the moment on them. So that's the story that we want to talk to you
about. A little backstory to the backstory. This all started, and it's important in a newsroom to introduce new mandates from time to time. And 2 weeks ago, I came in and asked that we do what?
We have to have story published by 11 a.m.
Because by 11 a.m., you know, most human beings, their days are half over.
True.
Yeah. So
now this feels like news meeting. Todd is actually literally like staring at me with his intensity of his eyes, you know, like judging. Okay. Judging every word.
Let's see. That morning, I remember walking in and... You guys are like, guess what?
Yeah, Todd, I have a story. It involves, something about Russian sex instructors arrested in Pattaya.
This was not just a normal, this wasn't a beginner sex class.
Yeah, advanced sex class,
this
in quotation marks.
Advanced
mark,
sex class.
Yeah, so, sure. Like, what kind of people need sex lesson in Pattaya? Not right. For 12 people, Russians?
And my response was probably...
And, you know, and Todd's response was...
Brief it, do it.
Yeah, get it out. Yeah.
What kind of art do we have?
Exactly. So I called the cop. I mean, I managed to find the name and phone number of the cop who led the raid. And so I called him and, you know, got really like a lot of details.
Sir, Dunyapat?
Dunyapat, yeah. Dunyapat, that's right. So shout out to you right there, Kun Dunyapat, for... Yeah,
keep up the good work.
Yeah, there you go. Apparently, cops read that the press after they received
some... just ran right in there.
Yeah.
It's the end of like a week-long course. I think they're actually handing out like these certificates.
Yes. And then they realized what they had at hand was a bunch of, you know, foreigners working without work permit.
Uh-oh.
Including one, a model, overstayed the visa. So they all got booked in.
I've been at the Immigration Bureau. There are posters. Models... You must have a work permit.
I'm sure you've seen all
it's
that.
A plague,
in the airport.
Plague of the nation.
Exactly.
Licensed models.
Right. And so, but by the time the story was, you know, the draft of the story that I was writing, when it was about to be ready, and then Todd did something.
Is Googling names to see the people involved.
That's when.
And the Instagram of one of the participants came up. She had posted on Instagram about her affair, not only her affair with some Russian oligarch, but also she'd written a book about seducing billionaires. Nastya Rybka. That's her, at least that's her Instagram presence.
Right.
She's actually Anastasia Vashukovich. And then she hooked up with this sex guru guy, Alex Leslie, He was basically one of these like pickup artists with a, maybe a little less misogyny than usual, kind of a free love libertine type. And it turned out that just 3 weeks ago, they left Russia after the Russian opposition leader, Alexei Navalny, he publishes this YouTube expose based on her Instagram.
Привет, это Навальный. Вы, наверное, заскучали по нашим расследованиям, и сегодня я наконец-то готов вас порадовать чем-то новеньким. И очень... Но я даже не знаю, какое слово тут подобрать.
Which is like photos of her frolicking, cavorting. It's basically like a sex week on a yacht with this Russian oligarch who was
Oleg Deprisga.
Oleg, yeah, Oleg. And look, this is where it all gets weird, right?
Yeah, it started to get weird about it. I mean, it actually, I remember it was, because, you know, in the office, I sit right next to Todd. And so, you know, we kind of, you know, like, he just kept glancing at me and be like,
we're bouncing stuff. Yeah. It kind of sounds like this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it get weird about it. Anyway. So, and who else, you know, who else was on that board? Actually, this is really weird. It was a deputy prime minister of the Russian Federation.
Yeah, Navalny talks about, the deputy prime minister who's all wrapped up in foreign affairs stuff. And interesting, Oleg the oligarch and Sergei Prikhodko, I'm not sure I'm saying that right, they're both knee-deep in this whole crazy Russian-U.S. election meddling investigation. You know, it'd be one thing to dismiss these people as hucksters and self-promoting whatever, but at the same time, right now, since Navalny's video came out, which they banned, and they pretty much banned all of his online stuff, Russia is now threatening to ban YouTube and Instagram in the country because of these videos from our friend Nastya Rybka.
Mm-hmm. And then it turns out that, you know, this two key characters of all this, you know, like it's disputes. I actually just locked up just 2-hour drive away from Bangkok.
Yeah, so suddenly, the churning global, like the driving news story of the world for the past year, which has been all this, you know, stuff about compromising information and dossiers and Russian meddling and, you know, this big ball of confusion, suddenly it landed in our backyard. So as responsible members of the Fourth Estate, we have no choice but to...
Todd told me, Tony, you had to go down there.
You got to go down there.
Yeah.
What? And they were marketing this whole sex class. Mm-hmm. One thing we looked up, we had a Asari, one of our reporters, who can do some Russian. She translated it.
Yeah.
And were they selling this thing?
She marketed as like, hey, could sex class in Pattaya with the woman who could bring down Trump?
With the women who has what it takes to bring down Donald Trump. That's right.
All right. And so... And, you know, I mean, at that point, I was feeling like, kind of make a reference to The Lord of the Ring.
If you need to.
Okay. All right. Keep thank you, Todd. Thank you, editor. So, you know, like that moment, right, when Frodo realized that this ring, the ring of power, the one ring, has actually landed on his lap in the Shire, right? You know, this corner of Middle-earth. He had heard before about the Dark Lord Sauron. He had heard before about this Last Alliance and Third Age, whatever. But, you know, he doesn't
Hobbits.
Really... Right, you know, he doesn't really pay attention to that because, you know, it's something that like beyond his control, beyond his daily life.
Right, it's beyond the borders of the Shire. For
exactly,
sure.
But now Gandalf is telling him actually all this thing, the central of it all, is actually right here in Hobbiton, and you have to take it, you know, like to the bottom of it and throw it in.
To a volcano.
Yeah, actually, there was a volcano called Pattaya.
Oh, we're in the metaphor. Right. This is still a metaphor. Okay, the volcano of Pattaya.
But then, you know, something miraculous happened. At first, I was supposed to go there alone. But then, you know, on that night...
Because I've got to edit. An editor's got to edit, right?
Indeed. And so the Todd decided to come along. And so, all right, so two of us, we, you know, on the next day, we left our office at 1 p.m.
The cops were... They were in police custody, visiting times at...
4 p.m.
4 p.m. Yeah, we hit the road from lovely Prachanibet at...
Exactly, at 1 p.m. I remember, like, 1:10, because we stopped by from 7-Eleven.
We stopped at 7 for some snacks.
I was eating strawberry ice cream. Yeah, we got down to it, and so we
get there about 3:30.
3:30, actually, plenty of time.
We're at the beach.
The beach road, this infamous Pattaya police station where all this wacky news came from. So I marched in with Todd. I asked where the holding cell is. Second floor. All right, we marched up the second floor, and so I saw this holding cell already on my left hand side.
This is it. We're gonna ask
Mount
the question.
Doom. I asked him, "Hey, sir, why is there 10 Russians? We here to talk to them."
Yeah.
And he said, oh, let's just left for the car 30 minutes ago.
You just missed the Russian.
Just missed the Russian 30 minutes ago.
And for the sake of this story, just to be pedantic, we know that not all of them are
Russians. No. Yeah.
No. They're from a variety of states. But for the sake of narrative expediency, we'll take license and refer to them as the Russians.
Just try to think of this as, you know, like a pre-modern like Russian empire.
What do we want to ask these Russians?
Number one, it turns out that Lunapart guy, Lunapart that I was talking to, turns out he never knew this alleged victim was a purpose. Everything was coordinated by this unnamed like police informant that he probably didn't even know too. Yeah. But he mentioned the Russians, that's for sure.
So yeah, we wanted to find, okay, what really happened down there? And then of course, what do you got? Right? What do you know? They're telling the world they know something.
Yeah.
There was a story describing them as like the missing link in closing the circle.
The dossier, right.
The Robert Mueller investigation, the Trump dossier. If you don't know what we're talking about, Google this stuff. We could be here for hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we get there, 3:30. We walk up to the cell and...
And they said, we wanted to see the 10 Russians. And he said, oh, 10 Russians? 30 minutes late.
They're gone.
They just missed them half an hour ago. They're taken to the court. And we drove to Pattaya court. And that's when things... got weirder.
Well, they got weirder. Yeah. So, you know, somehow we sort of talk our way into the room where they're being held. I guess it's a hearing.
It's a hearing room. Actually, it's a hearing room in the basement. Every court had this. Yeah. Mm. It's, you know, like all these suspects, people waiting to, you know, like for this remand hearing, they have to go to the so-called basement.
Somehow we talk to the guards.
I expect we're going to get that with 10 of them actually lining up.
They're like waiting for a judge to come out. And basically he's going to tell them, you're going to jail, you're going free. And so we walk in there. And at that point, we start calling out the name. I see Leslie.
Mm-hmm.
We call out his name. And he's looking kind of...
Terrified. He was terrified.
Who is this Western guy? And this
slightly ambiguous ethnic tie slash whatever. Tie, right? Yeah. I was holding a bag. I was, you know, like, and then we walked in with such determination on our face.
Once we get his attention and sort of mention that we're journalists, the floodgates open. The first words out of his mouth is like, are you here about Trump? Are you here about Putin? I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. First, what's going on? You know, what happened to you guys? And it, without missing a beat, he says, this is Russia. This is political pressure. This is about the scandal. This is about Nastya Rybka on the yacht with the deputy prime minister. It's just pouring out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
We get about... maybe 10 seconds of that.
Yeah, in the meantime, while Todd was talking to Alexander, or aka Alex Leslie, I was trying to hold off the court officials, because once we start talking to Alex, they realized we were not who they thought we were.
We did not misrepresent.
We did not misrepresent, but,
some guards come in.
Are we reporters? Are you serious reporters? You have to leave right now. Like, I think that really freed them out. And so they literally shove us away, you know, from the court hearing, giving me lecture about it. Do you know you're not supposed to pass through that gate and all that, especially if you're a reporter? You have to have judge order, whatever. Fine. So we went outside.
Yeah. They kick us out. They tell us maybe in an hour or two.
Yeah,
they said
the remand should be, you know, decided by 5 p.m.
We think that we're just sit there. They're going to come strolling out free. We're already planning Facebook Lives. We're thinking that we're going to sit down with these people and put the question. And this was the whole day. The whole day was about, can we get face-to-face with these Russians and put the questions to them? And that turned out to be a lot more difficult.
At the time, I believe that Alex told you that he expected to be free.
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. We had cops soon after that tell us that a call had come in.
You know, like special order, you know, like special treatment for these people. That was we learned that last day has been revoked by an urgent order by the immigration police commander.
From the top himself.
Like,
very strange.
That's what it is. Yeah, very strange. Like, I mean...
order. Well, and then the next thing we know, I counted 17, and that was before they finished showing up. But there was a huge police presence suddenly.
Yes,
and build-up. There was immigration police, there were regular police.
Yeah.
Like, this was like they were moving the Bangkok bomber or something.
Exactly. Everyone was surprised. Even the cops who arrived as informants, they were really surprised, like, why they had to be there. It just order came from Bangkok. More enforcement. You know, like, okay, so three police trucks came up. And as we mentioned in the story, you know, like, even the court security guard, I wasn't sure what the hell was going on. Even joked with his friend, like, are we bringing in, like, Kun Sa, this, you know, legendary Burmese drug lord?
It seemed irregular.
Yeah, it looked regular. Like, you could feel it in the atmosphere, like something was happening, but nobody knew what.
Right. Eventually we figure out that we can actually pick up the phone and speak to them in the cell.
So we
do communicate a bit further. They aren't sure what's going on. We're not sure what's going on. During that time, we find some other Russians waiting out front. We're not sure who they are. They are kind of hostile. So we go out, we walk back in front of the court, and we see a random farang. And I think I ask him, you're not with the Russians, are you? And he's like, but yes. So it turns out then he's going to lead us to some other Russians who are waiting outside. Mm-hmm. And we're translating like through Google Translate. And then outside is this he introduces this guy named Paul, who for the rest of the story we refer to as Leroy.
Leroy Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins!
The reason will be explained later.
The honor of the great Leroy Jenkins. And Leroy is not having any of this. He doesn't want to talk to us. He's kind of hostile. I go back and back to the holding cell and ask the Russians in there, do you know this guy Leroy, Paul, who's out there? And they're like, oh, yes.
At the time, they were still under the impression that they, you know, some of them would walk free. It turns out, after talking to some cops, it turns out, yes, some of them, majority of them actually, of the 10 Russians, they got bail, yes. But here's the kicker, though. They got bailed, but because they had already been revoked, they're not walking out of the court free. They're going to go straight to Immigration Detention Center. But at the time, they were told, and we were told, they're going to a police station. They're going back to Pattaya police station.
Yeah, that was the funny thing. The Russians come out, and I'm screaming. We've since been moved away by a guard who's not too happy with us.
Yes.
And I'm shouting out
what do you have on Trump?
Alex, Anastasia, what do you have on Trump? What do you... and they're just like, just come.
Yeah, just come to the police station.
We're going to the police station.
Yeah, okay, fine.
And I would have bought that, but then you had the brilliant idea.
Yeah, I thought, you know, like, we just jump in and hop in the car. The tall driver, follow that car.
We're now shadowing a convoy of the police and immigration officers, like, through the streets of Pattaya.
And turns out they were not going back north. They were not going back to police
station.
Where
they should have made a right, they made a left.
When we left, they go to what? This is Jomtien Beach. Yeah. I was really confused. I thought I was going nuts for a second. Then I was like, wait a minute. Like, wait, what? Like, did they turn back sometime to Pattaya Beach? Because this is a beach. But it's not Pattaya.
Then they vanished.
They vanished. Yeah.
And but you looked at Google Maps.
I Googled Map. You know, I realized that, you know, the closest landmark was, guess what? Pattaya, like, Chonburi Immigration Detention Center. So they were under false impression that they were going back to police station, but they're not.
And lo and behold, we find in the conference room
being interrogated, being questioned by I think three or four immigration officers, who scream at them something about like.
There's a lot of shouting. But they're happy to let us sit outside and eavesdrop through the thin door.
yes. And they were like talking in English.
Permit
about like, you know, why Thailand not accept you teach sex, and
right.
I think there was this one woman's like voice very loud and said, we didn't do sex like that. It was really you know how if you're foreigner having to deal with Thai police, you know how this goes with all this broken English and all
and
that.
Out of the conference room walks
Anastasia herself.
Nastya Rybka herself.
Yeah.
The one who has had the affair with the oligarch, the one who calls herself the oligarch huntress,
and
says she's got the dirt. She's the one. She's the one with all the info.
You could tell right away it has been Anastasia. You could see it from her.
She had a real presence.
Yes,
had a real presence, and she certainly has caused a shitstorm back in Moscow.
So we're
camped outside, and we are basically our line is look. We're tired reporters.
Mm-hmm.
Look on the wall. You've got Khaosod stories all over the place.
Because, you know, they were advertising about, oh, look, Khaosod report,
because
our
they
crackdown
see,
on, like...
they love to see themselves.
Yes!
And look, we're tired. We just need 5 minutes with this people. Not a big deal. Let us in. We're out of your hair.
The superintendent told me to go to the provincial command. But in the end, let's just say we didn't get it. They said the case is sensitive.
We held on because it seemed like they weren't kicking us out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and during this time, I've been chatting with Leroy, who I've gotten on WhatsApp,
mm-hmm.
and I don't realize that he's there. and he says they want to get a letter out. And his last message I get from Leroy is like, hang on, I'm going in.
Do. All right, thumbs up. Ready, guys?
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins!
Oh my God, he just ran in.
And then I glance up, and I just see, like, the blur of his jeans charging into that conference room.
So he was wearing blue jeans and white, like, some kind of, like, vest or something like that, right? So he charged him, like, past me. I remember, they let him in. No one stops him. So he barged in, and then so this another cop, like, came in from down, like, came up from downstairs. And now another cop, like, wait, what's that for wrong here? Right, where's the Farang?
Yeah, he's
and
in the there maybe like, about whoa. 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, which he's been trying to secret out this letter. When the cops come up and like, what, like, where's the Farang?
Where's the Farang? Yeah, where's the Farang
go? And then they go pulling him out of there. Mm.
And then it turns out Leroy, you know, like, and this is to, you know, honor the great
Leroy Jenkins.
The great charging down. The cops actually, like, you know, I thought he was a lawyer.
Hey, you know, being a Farang in a suit opens a lot of doors. And at some point, a gentleman, one of the immigration officers, I didn't get his name, he comes out and he says...
Stop talking English to you.
Yeah, he comes up and he asks if this is a politically sensitive case.
That was a really strange question to ask. It should be me, right? It should be us, reporters, asking them right.
And it sort of, we realize then that they have no idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what he explains is that they've got a woman in there who's making all these crazy claims about Russians and about Moscow and about how being unsafe for them. They think they just have a normal work permit, you know, people to process.
And these are, you know, like these immoral sex instructors or these, you know, these nasty farangs, whatever. This is what's in their head. You could feel it from the way they're talking to them. Now, but that changed that point.
Yeah. Well, as a responsible member of the Fourth Estate, I'm not going to go facilitating any... I don't want to influence what's happening, but I can present information. So I give him a little bit of the backstory and his eyes sort of light up. Oh.
Yeah. And another cop came to us again, asking us the same question again. Like, look, this is about Trump.
Yeah.
This is about Russia. Right. And now they're super nervous because they realize that, you know, like after like listening to all these crazy stories of this crazy looking lady, shit, she might be speaking the truth. And remember, this is Chonburi. Do you even know where Chonburi Immigration Center is? I did not. And certainly they did not, you know, expect to deal with this kind of huge story in their own hand too. And that's when what the point, and he sort of like retreat back like several paces, and he kind of talked to his partner, his the other cop holding the door, and he said, you know, like, we have a big issue at hand. This is sensitive. They go back into the conference
room. Yeah, and the whole tone kind of changes after that.
And then the whole thing changed after that.
So they get hustled off. They're on their way to the detention center. And at this point, the police
sort of... At that point, they really want them out of that place.
They're pretty eager to let them go. So they send them off down to the van. And at that point, we're allowed... We finally have the moment. Here we are after this day-long pursuit of trying to get face to face with this Alexander Leslie, Nastia Rybka, and their entourage, who again are not all Russians. We put the question to them as they're being loaded into the paddy wagon. What do you guys have? And at the end of the day, if they have anything, they're not telling us. They're holding out for the Americans. They want to swoop in and save them. What they clearly want is to not go back to Moscow. What do they want to do with this letter? This is supposed to be the letter that's going to have some details.
They want to give it to the U.S. Embassy.
This is their attack now. They want the Americans to jump in, save them from deportation. They say that they're going to be persecuted in Moscow, thrown in prison, and that this letter is basically asking for asylum. And what are they offering in exchange for protection by Americans?
No, actually, you should be the one who said it. You shouldn't want to tell because you've seen the letter your own eyes. So
they're offering evidence to prove Russian meddling. Not only did the Russian meddling in the American election, but to connect the dots between this cast of characters from the oligarchs, Putin, the prime minister, and they've got, according to the letter, they've got audio, video, and I don't know. They've got evidence.
Yeah.
And they're going to give it up.
Right.
So, look, I mean, I don't know what to believe. I certainly don't do tinfoil. And I probably have an unhealthy level of skepticism. And if it were not for the fact that these people have pissed off the Kremlin so much, while we were spending this day in Pattaya, there were people in the State Duma basically calling for either the death or for these people to rot forever in Thai prison. So they certainly have touched a nerve. Anyway, so where does the story go from here, Tony?
Well, they are now, they have been moved right now to Bangkok detention center, the central one, the big one.
Yeah, the moldering in the over Suan Plu, the old immigration detention center where many people go and disappear.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know how much chance they have to contest that deportation. That lawyer told us, that he would do everything he can to, prevent them from being deported back to Russia. And, and he also would like to, make some note as well to us that this process of canceling, revoking that stay was done so fast, so unexpected, that he felt there was something fishy about it. So kind of explains, what the cops' reaction were. They were never told what they were dealing with. They never know, none of these local police knew what was going on. So everything was, the top command didn't tell them anything precise, beyond just precise, specific order, bring some truck, bring them out, that's it, job. It's just so insane, right? They were left to this, this whole thing by themselves.
So let's get real here. It was an exciting day. It was a lot of drama, some definite Cold War vibes, and all the, the stuff as reporters we get maybe a little too excited about. Moment of truth. Europe, now, this opinion, these people have anything or not. They're just talking out of their asses to try to get out of Thai jail, or these people have something. Your opinion.
I'm a reporter. I don't deal with opinions, but my gut feeling would be like
your gut being an opinion free zone.
No, it's just if they have something that explosive, if they have something that crucial, maybe the CIA or either the CIA or FSB would have gotten them first.
It would have maybe not gotten that far off the yacht.
So, yeah, so they might have something, but it's probably not as explosive or not as significant that as they're trying to make it. So, Todd, what do you think?
What do I think? Oh, well, look, clearly, having seen these people together, I don't doubt their sincerity. They seem to believe that they have something. And there's a big difference between believing you have something and actually having something. Sure, the jury's out. As someone with, again, an unhealthy level of skepticism, I'm not expecting the world to come tumbling down based upon the advanced sex class Russians in Pattaya. At the same time, this world, I'm not sure what to expect. My surprise fatigue is open to any possibility. So, look, we should wrap this up. We thank you if you have listened and stayed with us this far,
and shout out to all the FSB and CIA listening.
Yes, yeah. Props.
We love your work.
Good work, guys. Good work, guys. So anyway, so look, this has been the first episode of the show English. Khaosod English. What's the name of it? What are we? The show to be determined.
Yeah, and the name shall be decided.
Advanced English training.
Don't look at me like that.
Show. So thanks for tuning in. Again, this is Todd Reese. I'm the editor of Khaosod English.
This is me, Chinai Jaluwat, a.k.a. Tony, staff reporter.
Come back and give us a listen next time, and we'll see what we have in store. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Bye. Oh, God.
Outro music goes here.
We'd like to thank the Belleville studio here in Bangkok for a very patient 120 minutes of production help. Keep an eye out for episode 2. And in the meantime, catch up on high-octane journalism at Khaosod English. That's khaosodenglish.com.